The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Here's the Matt Slick Live. And today's date is the 25th of July, 2022, for the podcasters. Hey, if you you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have five open lines right now. I want to hear from you. All right, so if you want to watch the show, Laura, you can nod. I'm still seeing you. Is it all done on the site so that it works? Okay, good. Now we'll just do this. So, okay, that means you can go to the CARM website, carm.org, in the right-hand side. You'll see on the homepage, you'll see the my picture and the radio thing, and you click on that and follow it. And you can watch. You can participate in the chat with people. There's a lot of good people that have become friends in that chat. They're kind of loyalists, Carmites, Carminians, I guess you could say. So it's nice seeing that with a smile. All right, now, get this. So, Friday. Friday. Okay, now I'm going to give a little bit of a story because it's a little interesting. We have a couple of cats, and one of them, named Flopper. He's got the IQ of basically kitty litter, and a beautiful cat, and he got out. And so we had to go around the neighborhood. Have you seen this kind of cat? Blah, blah, blah. Turns out he was still in the house in a closet that he shouldn't have been able to get into. Long story short. Anyway, but while I was out, I talked to a nearby Airbnb a guy who just happened to be driving up, and I said, hey, if you see a cat in your backyard here, blah, blah, blah. He says, okay, and we got talking. He's a United Pentecostal pastor. I said, oh, great. A United Pentecostal pastor. And I said, yeah, I know about that. And we got talking. And so so he said, well, you need to talk to somebody else who's more knowledgeable than me. And I smiled, and he said, as a matter of fact, David K. Bernard is going to be in a city called Caldwell, he said, Thursday and Friday. And this was a few days ago, so early last week. I said, really? Because I know who he is. He's supposed to be the number one apologist for the oneness view, the oneness position. And I thought, oh, good, I'm going to go check him out. I'm going to challenge him to a debate, a polite challenge, see if he's willing to debate me on the Trinity. And so I couldn't go until Friday night because of my schedule, and I got there. Now, I'll just tell you, on the way, this is interesting, not a big deal, but on the way, I'm right there. I'm a half a mile from the church, and I'm going to an intersection. I'm in the right lane, and this car on my left lane decides to turn right. Right there. I was accelerating, and so I just punched it and got her and swerved to the right and missed him. All right. Now, not a big deal. On the way home, I'm on the freeway talking to a friend of mine about what happened at the service, I'll tell you. And I'm driving, driving in the freeway, and it's dark, and all of a sudden in the middle of the road looked like a black tarp. A big one, and I had one half a second or a second to swerve to miss it, so I didn't just get it all tangled up or whatever. I swerved. I didn't know what it was until it went by and ran over it. I ended up calling the cops and saying, hey, there's something in the road here, caused me to swerve and caused others to swerve. Anyway, going and coming, oh, look what happened. Some stuff happened. Going and coming. All right, I'm making more out of it. Probably really needs to be. So while I'm there, and I have video, I took my phone and I videoed probably, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes of their 3-hour service. 3.5, maybe 4-hour service. I went and got something to eat. And so I was only there about 2.5 hours, I'm thinking, 2.5, 3. And I still want to do a video about it. And I'm not mocking them. Okay, if you're oneness or anybody, you can understand. I'm not mocking them. But it was a lot of hype, a lot of exuberance, a lot of amening, a lot of dancing, a lot of jumping, a lot of clapping, a lot of it all over the place. And it was, to me, it was fascinating. Now, I'm not knocking the idea of clapping and jumping, but what I saw was a manipulation. Now, I got to be careful here because I don't want to say that they were purposely manipulating anybody. Purposely. I don't believe that. But they could be so entrenched in a cultic mindset that they don't realize they're participating in a kind of a cultic practice. And the cultic practice is to say, I got a good deep breath I need to get here. Here we go. To say a statement over and over and over to hype people up. And, they might say, as I were saying, things like, Jesus is in the house. And Jesus is in the house. Amen. Hey, Jesus is in the house. And over a crescendo kind of a statement. And people would get up and applaud, then jump, and then some would run around the room. And this is, how do I say this? It's one of the things that's done in cults to help brainwash you. Now, I'm not saying they're intending to do that, but it's the kind of a thing that can happen where you get over-emotional, and then you have a specific response you're supposed to undergo at this time. And you are accepted in the group by participating in that experience. And then they would talk about how they have the truth, they have this, they have that. Very interesting to me. And this was my Friday night. I went there. My wife said, Go have a good time. See you later. That's my idea of a good time. And she, what did she do? She sat home, relaxed, and watched TV. And so I'm at a cult meeting. So which one of us had better fun? I don't know. I think I did. And so, all right. So I went there to talk to David K. Bernard. And I ended up talking to him. And he was a gentleman. Okay. I don't want anybody to think he wasn't nice to me. Towards the front of the church, the band was kept playing. After this, everything was over, they kept playing really loud, and everybody's talking. And I've got a little bit of autism, so I don't do well with all the sound, and I was really struggling to talk to him. And I said, look, I have a problem with sound. Can we go back in the back? And he goes, no, sure, no problem. He was very, very nice about that. And so he went in the back, and it was, what a relief. I could talk to the guy. Just so loud. And so, I said, look, my name's Matt Slick, and I'm a Christian apologist, Trinitarian, and I wanted to offer to debate you on the doctrine of the Trinity versus oneness. And I said, now, just so you know, I'm not some guy off the street. I've been doing this for a long time. I've debated many oneness people, and people are saying, I need to talk to you, and here I am. And he said he generally doesn't like to do debates. And so he wants to preach the gospel. Now, what was interesting was, when he preached on the very text that I had to preach on in seminary. It was 2 Chronicles 20. So I'm very familiar with the text, and I had to preach it twice, and there's quite a story behind that text with me, and the issue of moralism. And I won't get into it too deeply here, except to say that anything in the Old Testament you preach has got to be Christocentric, Christ-centered, cross-centered. Because the Bible's about Jesus, John 5:39, and Luke 24:44, and so we have to understand that it's about Christ. And if you don't have Christ there, you're just teaching moralism. Because if the sermon you preach can be preached identically in a Mormon church, for example, or a Catholic church, then if it's preached identical, and they have no problems, both groups have no problems, you're preaching the bad sermon. And that was his case. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm judging all his sermons by this one sermon. I can only tell you this is what I heard, and I paid attention. I filmed a lot of it, and I'd never heard the gospel preached. And the reason I'm saying that is because when he told me he didn't want to debate, but he likes to preach the gospel, I almost said, but I didn't say, I almost said, yeah, well, you didn't preach the gospel tonight. I didn't want to do that because that would turn him off, and I wanted to have, opportunity to debate him. And so I didn't say anything, and we get talking, and I forgot the exact stream of the conversation. But I said, yeah, I'm familiar with a lot of the stuff in the United Pentecostal Church, you know, the Trinity issue, the oneness issue, women pastors issue, baptism issue. And he said, well, baptism, you know, is necessary. And I said, well, I don't believe so. He says, well, I did this on purpose, just to see what he would say. I said, I believe that Jesus was sprinkled according to the law for his baptism. And he had never heard that before, apparently, because I do believe that. That's my honest position, according to the Bible. That's what I see it in. Now, if you disagree, call me up. We can talk about it. And so he said, well, they went down into the water. It says they came up out of the water. And I said, yeah, in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip went down into the water. And Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. So this doesn't mean they were both immersed. And then when they both came up out of the water. And he immediately changed the topic. Okay? I had an answer. And he immediately changed the topic. And I said, but you know, we could talk about it because I'm familiar with Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21. I'm familiar with it. And that's when I think he kind of clued in. Okay, maybe I do know some stuff, you know. And we got talking a little bit more, and he said, you probably teach you can lose your salvation. And I said, no. Or he says, we don't lose your salvation. I said, that's correct. I don't believe we can lose our salvation. And I said, that's from what Jesus taught. And at that point, it got a little bit interesting and about baptism. And I'm trying to remember the flow, and maybe I got a few things out of order, but I said this to him too. And we're almost done here. I've got another minute. I said, well, the Bible said we're justified by faith. Do you agree? And he said, yes. And I said, then are we justified by faith when we have faith? And he looked at me really confused. He goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, you said we're justified by faith. I want to know if we're justified by faith when we have faith. He changed the topic again. And so then he went into the issue of eternal security, attacking it. And it kind of went downhill from there. And it wasn't mean, it wasn't rude. But what happened was he started interrupting me in that he would ask me a question, I'd start to answer, and then he would cut me off and continue with something else. I'd start to answer that, and he did it again. And at that point, I realized this isn't going well at all. No one was yelling, no one was angry. And so there were people to my left who wanted to talk to him. And I think they saw what was going on and wanted to rescue him. I think that's what was going on. Because one guy put his hand on my shoulder, and no threat or anything, but he was very polite. They were already nice people there. And said, well, I think, you know, it's time to, you know, move along. Others want to talk to him. I said, yeah, that's no problem. And I said, can I have your email address? Because maybe we can do a discussion. Because he said earlier he'd be interested maybe in doing a discussion. I said, okay. So I have his email address. I'm going to email him in a few days when he gets home. I even told him, I said, no, you live in Austin. I said, I'd be willing to fly out to Austin. There's some atheists out there. I can debate you. I can debate them. We can have a debate. We can talk. Have a discussion on this stuff. And that's about as far as it went. So that was my experience on a Friday night. For me, that was a good time. And there's the music. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Matt from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Hey, I'm glad you survived Friday. I saw your live, well, I didn't catch the live stream, but it was about 33 minutes later or something, and I enjoyed you sharing that.
Yeah.
I got a question, and I hadn't thought it through 100%, and I hadn't done in my independent reading, so, you know. But I know you've talked about Jesus, and he's in heaven with his body, which I affirm. Uh-huh. I don't have any issues with that. And he's retaining his scars and his puncture, like he did, you know, when he mm-hmm. had his disciples. So then I started thinking, our bodies, like, when we're remade or redone, like, will we retain our injuries too? You know, like our scars, or someone's born without a limb or what have you. And
I don't know.
We'll be made perfect. Right. And is it because he will be forever praised because he was the lamb slain, and so he retains those marks? Is that sort of the idea?
Could be. So I'm just
telling
you.
Have you ever thought about it? Or
oh, yes. With? Absolutely, I have. Well, like my son, Jacob, who died right after being born, when I see him in heaven, will he be a baby? I don't think so. I think he'll be in his mid-30s. And the reason I think that is because Jesus died at 33. I think he's the standard, and that's it. I won't die on that hill. It's just, I'll go that way. So are we going to retain our scars? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Jesus retained the crucifixion wounds, so there's an implication that we are going to retain them as well. But though it's not a logical necessity. Okay.
Right. So there's, it's just really, I guess, sort of a opinion type situation where obviously we don't know, but I was just sort of, I thought about that some, and I was just wondering your thoughts, and if you knew anything particular.
Yeah, I. That's all I know is I thought about it, and I don't know what the biblical answer is, because the Bible, in all my years of studies, never told us, and that's it. So I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Let me throw something else at you real quick. Mm-hmm. It's not really a question, but are you familiar? Have you done any study on William Branham and the Message?
Yes. He's a cult leader.
Yeah.
He's cultic. Yes.
I know, man. I found a few videos from a guy that what was in the family, a grandson that has left, and another pastor that had left the church, and they're doing a podcast thing, and it's very interesting, and it's really spooky, and all the connections that church has with. I mean, it's just wild. I didn't know if you would touch base on it recently, but there's been a few new books. I mean, it's. Things like that sort of interest me. I mean, you know, just to see how bad things get
news.
With people. Yeah, he is. All right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time and your service, and we love y'all, and I guess we'll talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good. All right, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Before we get to the next caller, I want to just mention something. Last week, I didn't get much sleep on a particular day. Whoops. And someone called up, a woman, and I don't think I handled it as well and as gently as I could have. And so someone else wrote me a letter about that, a friend of mine, and he brought that up. And so I started thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I didn't handle it as well. I forgot who it was, the person. But just, you know, let people know that I do appreciate the feedback, and sometimes I do things wrong, and just let you know that working on it and trying to obey scripture, and there you go. Okay? Hope that helps. All right, let's get to Dave from North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay, by God's grace. So what do you got?
Yes, I love the question the caller had. I got a couple of things I just would like to hear your opinion about.
Sure.
Scripture talks about people that are not saved are lost, and where all men are lost when they're born. Mm-hmm. But we have a terminology today that we say, use the word unsaved. And do you think that is okay, or should we refer as Christ would refer, as lost?
Either one, I think, is fine. Or is that a unsaved? Big deal? Unsaved, lost, in a state of damnation, and still in condemnation. You know, all those are accurate. So I think it just depends on the mood, the situation, and then do the best you can to communicate that. Okay.
Okay. I appreciate that because I was kind of, you know, kind of leaning toward just the word lost as reference rather than using the word unsaved. I felt it's more a little bit biblical, but
Well, you
it
know,
has the same meaning. So.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think all of those are biblical, so I think they're fine. Now, you remind me of the issue of people say, well, that so-and-so had an affair. And I say, no, it was adultery. Or they're gay. I say, no, it's homosexual. Or pro-choice. I say, no. No, it's abortion. I don't like to use their terms. But since these terms you've mentioned are biblical, then I think we can use them, no problem.
Okay. All right. One other question.
Sure.
And I've been in churches that did opposite in this. At the end of the service, a couple of churches I've been to, they did not give what we would call a invitation and sing a song for someone to come and walk the aisle and come forward.
Okay.
And I have been in churches that do. I'm in one right now that does. But I can see both sides in a way of one not doing it and one doing it. The ones that did not do it would always have someone there to help anyone who would have a question about their salvation or having desire to know more about being saved. So I'm good with that.
And what's your question then?
With the invitational system as asking people to walk forward to receive Christ, a lot of people put emphasis on walking an aisle. If you walk that aisle, you'll be saved. And if you go up there because you performed this way of coming to Christ.
Waiting for a question.
Do you think that's okay at the end of a preaching service to say, come up here to the front? Some call it an altar, which
Is it okay to have an altar call in a service? Yeah, that's your question.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay to have an altar call? Yeah, I don't see any problem with it.
Yeah,
as long as it's not the thing you walking up is what makes you saved, but it was sufficiently explained and it was a public declaration of the process, I don't have a problem with it. Okay?
Okay.
Here's a break, buddy.
All right,
Dave. Okay, man. God bless. Hey, folks, four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Hey, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Russell from North Carolina. Russell, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, you remember me, Matt?
No.
You don't remember Russell? Yeah, I'm from Ash.
I talked to a lot of people. You know, I talked to a lot of people. Hey, you remember me? It's like, whoa. You know, and so it's a little tough. You have to be really obnoxious for me to remember you. You're more obnoxious than me. So if you're not worse than me, you're fading into the background. So.
My God. My question is this. Do you remember me? Oh, my God. Okay. My question is this. I know that you don't agree with the woman pastor.
The Bible
and
doesn't
I was
agree.
Wondering, yeah. I know you mentioned that you felt like it's okay for women to have a career. And, of course, nowadays in the way society is, the idea of a woman staying at home and a man working is sort of, if it can be done, good, but for the most part, it don't work that way. But I was wondering, don't you feel like the feminist movement and the women pastors and the thing about women that just, don't you feel like a lot of that is all mixed together? Because, I mean,
yes.
I've known some women that, to be very honest, I don't see how their husbands stood them. And, I mean,
you have to go to their house.
The way that I feel,
you have to go to their house and see who's wearing the apron and who's wearing the pants. That's gonna get some people mad at me.
But you know, I mean, if you know, the Bible talks about a woman should a man should cherish his wife,
yes,
and should you know, and that a woman should, from the way I see it, the man's the head of the house, even though he may be playing with, you know, a few fries short of a Happy Meal, but still, he's the one that has the say. But I
Hold on. You're saying a lot of stuff here.
Okay.
And you're not qualifying much. Okay. You're not defining how you mean these things. And if I don't step in, I just let you say stuff, it's like, okay, we've got an issue here. So let me ask you a question. You ready? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What's your question?
Okay.
That's my question. What's your question?
The question is the man the head of the household?
Yes, he is. Ephesians chapter 5:22 following. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. He's the head of the house. Doesn't mean he lords it over his wife. Doesn't mean he makes demands and she has to obey, unless he's making a good sandwich. Then I could see that, you know, with a little bacon in there and a little, you know, some good stuff. But other than that, I really can't see, you know, that. Men, they don't realize they're supposed to serve their wives as Christ loved the church. And though they are the ones who are the leaders, they're the one by default, whether they like it or not, the women like it or not, it's irrelevant. This is how God has set it up. The husband's the head of the wife. And so he's the one ultimately responsible. And so that's how it has to be. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, too, I've heard this, that she does have the right to say, honey, we need to talk.
Of course.
I don't agree with this. And he should, if he is listening. And there are women that I do believe God has used to speak into people's lives.
Yeah.
But,
well, my wife is very wise. My wife has got a lot of stuff going on. She's wise. Of course, she married me, so that just half of her validity is gone right there. But other than that, the rest of it, she's got a lot of good stuff going on. So yeah, I listen to her. She has some good advice. I listen to her. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that kind of clears up, you know. But now, do you remember me?
No.
You don't.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people.
Well,
you understand?
I want you to know
I talk to a lot of people, and not only here on the air, but then I'll go into sometimes into Discord, and I talk to people. I will go into Clubhouse and talk to people. I also go into the Metaverse and I talk to people. So I'm talking to people a lot, and I encounter a lot of people. My brain just cannot keep up with it. Okay, all right.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you, I really, really love listening to you, and you hold my interest, and that's something. If somebody holds my interest, that's a good thing, because a lot of people are talking, and, you know, these smileys on TV, buy my book next week, and, you know, okay, yeah, right. So, but I love you. I want you to know that.
Well, appreciate it. At least that's one person. Good. That's good.
I'm sure there's a lot more out there. But peace, love, and hang in there, brother.
Okay, you too. All right. Well, God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Okay, so... Yeah, I'm kind of known for making these stupid comments about women making sandwiches. And it started years ago. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this. Started years ago when my wife and I had our little girls, and we would watch SpongeBob. We would watch VeggieTales. And in VeggieTales, a queen was kicked out of the kingdom because she wouldn't make the king a sandwich. And so I remember looking at my wife going, "Hey, hon, it's right there in the Bible. You got to make a sandwich, okay?" And she's like rubbing her forehead like, "Oh, no." So I've been using that ever since. And so so I'll say, hey, you know, and I, in a text, okay, because a guy talked about stuff, and I said, you know, just goofing around with the sandwich stuff. And I the ladies in the chat room, you know, a brick, as in brick sandwich for me, and stuff like that. So we get a lot of fun out of it. And then I said, I wonder which woman in here makes a better sandwich. And I typed that in. So this is how you dig a hole for yourself, gentlemen. but I enjoy it. So I know I got issues, but they're smiling. The ladies are. The guy's got a smile in there. He's going. Let's see. Facebook comment throwing of the slickster. Laura says, not me. But I know they're smiling. I know they don't want to smile, but they are. So that's what I'll do with. But if I'm in front of them and I'm doing this, I'll go, smile if you like it. And they smile. I said, see? It's so immature. But hey, for some reason, I'm pretty good at it, being immature. All right. My wife right now is going, amen. Okay, there you go. Hey, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-2. Bill says, Slick doesn't use a shovel. He uses a backhoe. Yeah, he uses a backhoe. Yeah, that's right. I'm digging it deep. Here I go. Oh, man. Okay. All right, so I got to get serious here. Okay, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudy from Utah. Rudy, welcome. You're on the air.
Matrig.
That's all.
How are you?
I'm okay. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Hey, I got a question for you. When are you going to come back to Provo and preach for us?
Oh, hey, Rudy. Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
¿Cómo estás, hermano?
Estoy excelente. Si quieres predicar, soy listo.
Sí, sí, otra vez.
It's up to you, si quieres.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Hey, the question. Okay, I will let you know. And by the way, you know, the wife sandwiches are the best. They always are.
You know what? We could have the ladies of the church get down in the basement or the kitchen, and what we can do is we can have them make sandwiches, and we can have, you know, the cards 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we just hold them up and, yeah, you know, take a. I think it'd be good. You know?
Yeah.
After I preach. Otherwise, you won't listen to me. So.
That's right.
That's right. Ooh. Yep.
All right.
There goes the backhoe.
The question that I had, I'm sure I'll get a few comments too, but hey.
I'm dragging you down with me. Okay.
Hey,
all right, man.
Hey, brother, you know, I have friends in low places. What can I say?
You, you and I, we get along, man. Your jokes are as bad as mine. All right. Okay. We gotta get serious. Okay. Something about the Book of Daniel, I think.
Yeah, the question that I have is just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Noah Harari.
No.
He is literally called the prophet of the World Economic Forum.
Oh, man, just a break. Hold on. His name again? I'm going to look him up. What's his name?
No, his I don't remember his first name, but it's Noah Harari.
Okay, I'll look it up during the break. Okay. All right, hold on, man. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, let's get back to Rudy. Yeah, Rudy. I did a quick look up on the guy, found him, and wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, so my question is dealing with the stuff that he's proclaimed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's literally called the prophet of Klaus Schwab, that individual. And so my question is just hypothetical. The iron mixed with clay in chapter 2 of Daniel, do you think it's possible with the nanite technologies and the things that they're beginning to unleash and the AI technologies, and along with that, the what is it called, the metaverse that they want to plug people into.
Mm-hmm. And then transhumanism. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And AI. Uh-huh. And non-sentient superintelligence. Right. That's governed at the core by algorithms and cannot be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But yep.
Do you think that it's possibly that Daniel 2, where he talks about the iron mixed with clay, if this was kind of possibly what he might have been seeing, that this type of thing that they're going to try, that they insist is going to work, and Harari actually claims it provide eternal life for people.
It could never be. Yeah, it could never be that we'd have eternal life in the sense of a consciousness transformed into a machine, because the properties emanate out of the essence. The essence can't be transferred into a non-machine. It's just a copy. But what you're talking about is Daniel 2:43, which says, "All that you saw, the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with the pottery." I remember listening to Chuck Missler talk about this particular verse, and he said that the they, according to the Hebrew, can't be the same as people, that are different.
Right.
So some say that this might be a reflection of the Nephilim, because it was in the days of Noah, you know, Matthew 24, Luke 17, out of Genesis 9. Genesis 6. So some think that that might be the case there. So I don't know if that applies, if Daniel 2:43 could apply to him in that context.
Okay. I was just curious, because it just, you know, as I start to string things together, as I see things unfolding, I'm just always curious in the back of my mind, and sometimes I think our minds work alike in these.
Yeah.
We think outside the norms of things.
You and I are both. You and I are both highly intelligent and very good looking too. So, and humble. So that's right.
Thinking that,
you were just thinking that. Okay. So wow, what a coincidence. Some more stupidity from Matt Slick. So that's it's an interesting topic, it really is. And you know, I'm actually rewriting one of my novels, my first novel, just kind of polishing it up and stuff, and then I want to jump into a sequel, and I'm actually playing with the idea of developing a plot out of the idea of an artificial intelligence that is non-sentient, that becomes dominant, and how the Christians have to deal with it and what happens. So I've been entertaining that idea. I think it might be a good thread to go down. There's a lot of this stuff.
I think that would be a great rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, it would be. It is. Yeah.
I'll have to look into that more and think. And like I said, I'll get a hold of you, and we'll have you come down hopefully one of these times with your lovely bride. And we're praying for her.
If she can make it.
And we'll continue to pray for her and lift her up. We do so every Sunday. And we'll. You have any prayer requests? We've got a prayer meeting tonight, and just wondering if you have anything you'd like us to pray for.
Yeah, just pray for her. And her health. She's actually doing a little bit better in the past 2 or 3 days because she had, I believe it's the medicine that they injected into her body in a certain localized area that I think is helping. And she actually went shopping on her own today. Big deal.
Ooh.
So praise God. She's probably going to say, "Matt, don't talk about me on the radio like that." And, I'll get in trouble for it.
I'll be praying for you too, because if, women go shopping alone, that's,
you know, the thing about my house is I don't need to dig a hole anymore. I've just got trenches everywhere. So I just walk around, you know, it's all good. All right.
Praise God. Good talk to you, brother. God bless.
Okay, hasta luego, hombre. Okay.
Hasta luego.
All right, let's get on the phone with Claudio from North Carolina. Claudio, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yes,
so what do you got, buddy?
Yes, sir. I have a question about 1 Samuel 8, when Israel demanded a king.
1 Samuel 8, okay. Yeah, Israel wanted a king, yes. And what about it?
Yes, sir. Our pastor preached on that topic a couple of Sundays ago.
Yeah.
My question is, I was surprised to know that the prophet Samuel, who was the judge and the counsel and everything, he has two children.
Okay, well, hold on. I'm not able to understand everything you're saying, so I'm just not following you. There's a little bit of noise, and it's not real clear. So, do you have a question?
Yes, my question is, I'm made to understand that the prophet Samuel has two children.
Okay.
And I want to know his wife's name. What is the prophet Samuel's wife's name?
Oh, off the top of my head, I don't know that.
Or any information about his wife?
I don't know. I don't know what his wife's name was. Saul, and the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam. So I know there's that. But that's in 1 Samuel 14.
The prophet Samuel.
Yeah. So, and then let's see. I'm looking for the word wife to see if there's any mention of it. And let's see. No, not there. I'm looking. Maybe someone knows. But no, I can't find it. I don't know if it has that. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, because he has two children, he just got to have a wife, so I don't
sure
have any
does.
Idea who the wife
sure.
is. Okay.
Sure, he has a wife, or she passed away, but yeah, that's how he would get his children. Okay. All right, that's how it would have been. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know anything about whether his children were converted because they were kind of dishonest?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Something about them being dishonest.
About the children. It's two children, because I think they took over, handed power to them, and then they kind of dishonest, and then the people requested they want a king, you know, because his children were not doing good, or they are stealing the money, or do something.
Okay. I'm not sure how to comment. I don't know what your question is.
My question is, What were the outcome of his two children? Did they change in the later on? Did they convert?
Okay, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've read that particular topic, so off the top of my head, I just don't know. I have to do some research to see. Okay, if you mean their two children, they became believers or apostate or what? I don't know what happened to his two children. Okay?
Okay, sir, thank you.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. Okay. That was Claudio. Now, let's get on the air with Sela. That's a nice name. From North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just trying to figure out what was your stance of the turn down of Roe versus Wade, and then, like, now the states apparently supposed to come up with their own law. I personally do not believe in abortion. I was raised Catholic and Baptist, but was not baptized until I was 24, and I consider myself a believer in Jesus Christ and the Father of God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. So I'm not really focused on denominations.
Do you have a question, though?
My question is just like, it says in the Bible, just like, this is one of the things that I completely understand. In the Bible, it says in the Bible from the moment of conception. Okay, so I don't understand what is the major debate if it says once the sperm hits the egg, it's a living child or whatever. I mean, is this, you know, like, I was listening to the show earlier today with another host or whatever, and he mentioned like reprobate minds. I mean, it's like it's. You know, my mom into that too. I mean,
so what's your question,
are we
though?
Like are the United States, have we turned to a point of this reprobate minds, and we really, like, are they the, like, majority reprobate mind people that they really can't see the wrongness?
Yeah. The issue of reprobate mind is given over to the depravity of their hearts and their minds, so that they want to kill children. They want to kill the life in the womb. I just saw a video a little bit today of someone who, in an address to a graduating class, I think it was, of doctors, called a white white smock or something, ceremony. And a lot of them walked out when the person started speaking pro-life. So our doctors, there's doctors, were walking out because they don't like the idea of that. And so this is just showing the depravity of their hearts and their minds. Now, I'd love, and if there anybody's listening, I'll debate you on abortion and humanity and when it's okay, what. I mean, I've offered this before. No one takes me up on it, and no one will take me up on it, or anybody else, because they don't have arguments. They don't have anything a leg to stand on. It's just an emotional thing to want to demand narcissistic freedom of their own body at the expense of someone else, which is what's in their bodies. So, our country is, when our country officially says it's good to kill the life in the womb, it's good to practice homosexuality, you know that such a country has turned its back on God, and the wrath of God is fermenting. It'll come to full.
And it says also, like I said, I'm not a good person of quoting in all of this of Matthew, whatever. I just haven't been good at that. But it also says, you know, like when a man leaves his family, or a woman leaves his family, you know, they cleave to each other, husband and wife, and therefore, you know, they have kids and things like that. So how, if these transgenders or these, you know, woman on woman, man on man, however it is, you know, if they can't procreate, then really, once again, is this a reprobate mind? I mean, like, if they can't have a child with the same sex. So it's so obvious. It's just like, I'm so confused. I just don't even get it. It's so
it's called,
one of the things, those it's called, things is so it's clear called, to me.
It's called cognitive dissonance. They're so entrenched in stupidity that their brains are messed up and they can't think critically. And that's the case across the board. It happens in the Christian church as well as outside the Christian church. Critical thinking is lost, largely lost, okay? Yeah. All right?
I was just wondering, you know, like, what was your concern? Because Natalie said people are going to be penalized. By state to state, and they go across the state, I don't know, Louisiana.
I'm with you. But hey, you know what? The music's gonna be starting any second now, so we gotta move. There
okay,
it is.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
You're welcome.
All right. Hey, folks, there you go. We are at the end of the hour. Hope you enjoyed the show. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Please tune in then. God bless. Have a good evening. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.